Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Stephanie Officer. We now know the identities of the firefighters killed in Sunday's ambush at an Idaho park. Officials say 42-year-old Battalion Chief Frank Harwood of the Kootenai County Fire and Rescue Department succumbed to his gunshot wounds. He was a 17-year member of the department. 52-year-old Battalion Chief John Morrison of the Coeur d'Alene Fire Department was also killed. He was a 28-and-a-half-year member of that department. 42-year-old Engineer Dave Tisdall of the Coeur d'Alene Fire Department is a 23-year member. Tisdall underwent two successful surgeries for his gunshot wounds. Hope grows for peace in Gaza as Israel appears to be getting closer to accepting the U.S. proposal to end the fighting. ABC's Tom Sufi-Burridge.
President Trump is pushing for that. There are signs that Prime Minister Netanyahu is moving in that direction. I don't think he's going to imminently end the war. I think at the moment the consensus amongst analysts here is that we are potentially weeks away from the war ending.
This is ABC News. As millions of travelers make their way to their July 4th destinations, many are facing hazardous weather conditions. ABC's transportation correspondent Gio Benitez reports from New York City's LaGuardia Airport.
Over the weekend, at least 15 tornadoes were reported across the plains and the Midwest.
Oh, my God.
And more bad weather is expected. Some Amtrak passengers had to be taken to a local hospital with heat exhaustion after their train broke down south of Jessup, Georgia. More than 140 people had to be taken by bus to their final destination. All of this as an unprecedented number of people hit the road and the skies.
The FBI and federal cybersecurity officials today warning that the ceasefire between Iran and Israel has not ended the threat of cyber attacks from Tehran-supported hacking groups. In a public bulletin, the authorities warned hacking groups may try to disrupt or disable critical infrastructure systems in the U.S. or target defense contractors and companies with ties to Israel. I'm Stephanie Officer, ABC News.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
This is what I love, Madison. There's so many weird things. Bennett's Meadowood Country Club, which is a bar and not a country club, they have an event called Smut and Eggs. You show up for eggs and you watch a porn film while you eat breakfast. I have trouble watching a PG-13 movie when I eat breakfast. It's more of a dinner thing, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe a nice group orgy and some pasta.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
In sitcoms, when someone has a problem, they just blurt it out and move on.
Well, I lost my job and my parakeet is missing. How was your day?
But the real world is different. Managing life's challenges can be overwhelming. So, what do? We get support. The Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council have mental health resources available for you at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. See how much further you can go when you take care of your mental health.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Brewers head to New York. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers on their way to Queens, New York, where they'll face the Mets tomorrow night. The crew losing to the Rockies yesterday, 4-3 in 11 innings. The game began with Rockies manager Warren Schaefer and batter Tyler Freeman arguing with the umpire about balls and strikes, both ejected. I asked Brewers pitcher Chad Patrick how it went for him.
That first inning was definitely a grind. I felt like I was making good pitches, just trying to get rewarded a little bit, how close they were. Said something, you know. Go on from there, but he ended up being right.
Basketball, the Milwaukee Bucks have reached a new 3-year deal with Bobby Portis Jr. worth as much as $44 million. Head coach Doc Rivers.
Listen, Bobby, he's been fantastic. Every night he gives us something, defensively with his hands and his rebound.
And former Buck Malik Beasley, now with the Pistons, under investigation for gambling. Beasley accused of betting on NBA games 2 years ago while with Milwaukee. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. During a recent appearance at Fuel Fest, Vin Diesel said he recently spoke with a Universal executive who asked him if they could do another Fast and Furious film, to which the actor said yes, but on three conditions. The conditions were to return the filming to production-starved L.A., embrace the purity of street racing once again, and to have his buddy Paul Walker make an appearance in the film. Walker passed away in 2013 after a high-speed car crash at just 40 years old. Jeff Bezos and Lauren Sanchez's $50 million wedding was the talk of the weekend, but the talk wasn't all good. Charlize Theron spoke during her fifth annual African Outreach Project in L.A. and said to the crowd, "I think we might be the only people not invited to the most talked-about wedding," at which point the Mad Max Fury Road star said, "That's okay, because they suck and we're cool." Two very different events, but a lot less collagen and steroids at Theron's event. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabo. Weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A stray shower storm this evening, otherwise mostly clear and a low in the low 60s tonight. Sunshine and warmer for tomorrow, high in the low 80s. Another slight storm chance Wednesday and Thursday. A little more humidity as well, highs into the mid 80s. Right now it's 78 degrees.
Maggie Dawn.
On the next show, what happens if 20 million people lose their health insurance? Kristen Krall from Fair Share America joins Maggie to talk about the Stop the Billionaire Giveaway bus tour.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Mino and the Mayor.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
It's a good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, hit me, cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events, and as you know, he knew Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
That is right, Jaji. Hey, this portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Hey, today we have Dr. Stately on later today, and checking in. We haven't talked to the great doctor, but hey, I was listening to a show earlier on AM 950, the Matt McNeil show, the great Matt McNeil show, and somebody called in, Jaleesa, and said that it was funny that Grand Casino Arena is, or the X is being going to be called the Grand Casino Arena.
Mind blown.
Yeah, right. And the first thing that was called about was like, are they going to put a casino there?
Oh dear.
And they don't really know the process. I know we're opening a casino in Beloit, meaning the Ho-Chunk Nation.
Yep.
And it's taken 15 years to get it okayed by the government.
Right. Yeah, that's a process. I mean, but wow. I mean, Jaji, you know I'm a big sports fan, specifically a Minnesota sports fan.
Oh.
You know, and hey, my Ho-Chunk people, you know, we're over in Wisconsin, so I'm not opposed to them, but that's a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, the XL, that's to switch that over. Wow.
Yeah. And it's branding, you know, it's branding. They have here, let her out. I think she wants to get out. I think it's branding. You know, they have that hotel down there, the old Radisson on Kellogg there, that big old hotel, meaning Grand Casino, the Mille Lacs, Ojibwe, and good on them. But it's, you know, it's more than just when people are putting their name on a sports stadium.
Right.
It's like advertising all the time. That's what they're doing. I mean, there's no way they're going to. I just want to let our allies know out there that it's a huge process. I remember, I can't remember which tribe, but tribe bought some land out by Stillwater on Manning in 36. There was a big old empty lot there. And the first thing that people brought up was like, oh, it's a casino. They're going to have a casino there. And it's like, no, we can't willy-nilly put a casino wherever we want, or we'd already probably have one there.
right. exactly. But yeah, I mean, it's really cool just to see so many things, you know, the names come back to the original names, to the Lakota names here in Minnesota, you know, and other things. But then, yeah, on top of that, have great advertisement at such a massive level. I mean, the Xcel Energy Center, that is fantastic. And shout out to the Frost for, you know, back-to-back championships, the women's hockey team. I just had to say that.
Right on. No, I'm glad you said that. And it's huge. And how well is your the women's basketball team doing? Unbelievable.
Oh, right.
The Lynx.
The Lynx are, you know, they're number one and they're going strong. Shout out to them. I'm going to try to catch a game very soon.
Take Wendy and I. We want to go.
Yes,
hey,
go.
I just want to give a quick shout out to our friend, State Representative Heather Keeler. She said hi here on Facebook Live. And Heather, we got to have you on soon. And
yes.
we have to have you and Jaleesa do a show together while I do a vacation. So we'll set that up really cool. But it's always good. And I appreciate you always saying hi.
Yes.
And seeing you around the community and in the Twin Cities. And it's just it's a huge deal. So, you know, and Heather just said women in sports in Minnesota are outstanding. Go Lynx. Right on.
Yes. Go Lynx.
Yeah. So we got Dr. Stately on and had a little mishap here in the beginning of the show, but you know, we're going on, we're professionals, right?
Oh yes. Yes. And we roll with it. You know, there's, you can be as prepared as you can be in, things that are live and then things happen and that's you roll with it.
Yeah. Thank you. I know, in years past, or no, I should say weeks past, I would have a meltdown live on the radio, but now I'm better because you're here, Jaleesa.
Oh, well, that's nice.
Mahinu. And I guess that could be word for the day. Or you know what would be cool is why don't you tell everybody your name? We do that every once in a while here. And I'll say mine is Wukunjahare, which means distant thunder, which
yes.
I think is a great name, by
it's
the
great
way.
Name.
My uncle, Mandega, gave it to us.
That's right. Yes. I'm glad you asked. I've been trying to share my name as much as possible. It's so important to honor, you know, in my group that I lead, that's Native Centric at, where I counsel at, you know, I encourage all of my clients and coworkers to, if you know any of your native language, to speak it freely. So try to do that as often as possible. But yeah, my name is Chushep Wakahawinga, which means Holy Eagle Woman.
And it's a great name for you. That's, really, really. And I feel like, you know, you talk about my grandson, which his name is Silas, but we like to call him Bobby here on the slide. But
well,
that
he's a Robert, too.
Right. And that he's a spiritual. But I always feel like you are like in our immediate family. You're the spiritual one in our immediate family. And I always ask you to open up with a prayer whenever possible. So that's, I guess I'm just saying that's a great name for you.
Oh, thank you. Absolutely. Yeah. Silas, definitely his, just his little spirit is just so alive already. And he's mimicking, you know, kind of pounding on the table and mimicking Jaji here. You all know him as Robert Pilot, but his choka. And so I see it already. He's just this sweetest little boy.
Yeah. And if you can say those two definitions of the two words that you just said for our listening audience, in Ho-Chunk, choka and Jaji.
Yeah. So Jaji means dad or father in Ho-Chunk. And so you'll hear me say that every time I'm on the radio. That's the only way I refer to what you listeners know as Robert Pilot, the host and the founder of Native Roots Radio. I say Jaji, so that means dad or father. And then, you know, you'll hear my Jaji here call me Hinu, which is firstborn daughter. I was born a minute earlier than my twin sister. So I get the Hinu. I get that name. And then, I'm sorry. You said Choka. Choka means grandfather.
Yeah. And also, Weeha is second daughter.
That's right. Shout out, Jelaine.
All right. Hey, Native Roots Radio. We'll be right back with Dr. Stately. Stay with us. You were going to say that.
Hey.
Your heart beats for generations.
Your heart is so many things. It beats all the time, and it works very hard to keep you moving through your day, keeping your thoughts clear, It's the most important organ in your body.
Every beat of your heart tells a story of love, resilience, and hope. Taking care of your heart means creating more moments with the ones you cherish. Learn more at hennepin.us/heart-beats. That's hennepin.us/heart-beats.
I'll never forget. I was driving my Sienna from Rudy Luther Toyota, and I was hit at 35 miles an hour, rear-ended square flush. If not for the structural integrity of my Sienna, I wouldn't be here right now. There's a lot I can say about Rudy Luther Toyota, about their fantastic service department and their great selection, but being able to say your car saved my life is the best endorsement I can make. Toyotas from Rudy Luther Toyota are my highest recommendation. Get one today and tell them me, Matt McNeil, told you to stop on in. Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Four Sisters Farmers Market is more than a place to shop for delicious organic food. It's a celebration of indigenous culture, food sovereignty, and community. Now in its 11th season, the market offers healthy, affordable, culturally appropriate local foods every Thursday from 11 to 3. Located on the American Indian Cultural Corridor off Franklin Avenue, Four Sisters Farmers Market is a project of NACD. Every Thursday now through October, discover more about Four Sisters Farmers Market by visiting NACD.org.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Hey, this portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Hey, we're waiting for Dr. Stately, and I know he's got a long trip back to his home, and he's in the Twin Cities, and he's heading back out. He has twins, too. His sons are doing something in the Twin Cities, and so he's... hopefully going to be jumping on here soon. But if he doesn't, I just want to talk about this real quick. Have you ever been to the Niagara Falls?
I have. So I took a road trip there and was able to see the U.S. side and the Canadian side. We were on the Canadian side. It was absolutely beautiful.
Okay. So I have a quick little update there. It says Niagara Falls will be illuminating in orange tonight, which was an hour ago. So this was brought up an hour ago from Indian DNA on Facebook. And it says Niagara Falls will be illuminated in orange tonight in honor the children who were never returned, the survivors and all affected communities of residential schools. The internationally recognized Strong Water Singers will be there performing along with the Niagara Parkway. So that's really, really interesting. It's interesting that they're going to be able to illuminate it orange.
That's just beautiful. And what a great way to honor, you know, in any way to get the word out, to get the message out, to honor those that have been lost. That's really moving.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, we have in our bullpen, and I always like to say it's our bullpen, but we have Dr. Stately, and I'm going to add him to us and say a big ahoo. Hey, Dr. Stately, how you doing?
Good. Hey, How are you?
Great to see you. Gosh, today's is always Mondays have been a stressful day for you, and we really appreciate you being on. And yeah. I know, and we've missed you because so much has happened lately. We'd love to talk to you about.
Yeah, it's good to see you all. I'm sorry I haven't been available a lot over the last few weeks. You know, June has been a crazy month.
Mm-hmm. It really is.
Graduation and a few other things. And yeah, just crazy.
Well, I tried to stop by and see you at the clinic and my car fell in a big hole.
Oh, wow. Is that what we buried? I don't know. What I saw a bunch of dirt.
tell our listening audience what's happening. And I was at Maria's with a couple people, and we were right outside the door there, and I took a couple pictures, and really excited for the community and Native community clinic. Oh God. I'll get that right yet.
I just said this to somebody the other day. I said, he's always calling my clinic NACD.
Oh no.
And I'm always calling NACD community clinic. So maybe
NAC versus NACD. Yeah. All great Native, you know, organizations.
Yeah. It's because Robert and Pilot and I are like twins. We look alike. We sound alike.
You know who always used to say that was David Canoyer. He'd always go, people always think I'm you. And I'm going, oh my gosh, we don't even look alike.
You kind of have the same voice, I think, maybe a little bit.
Well, I guess we look alike when it's midnight and there's no lights on, right?
Well, you know, all the Indians, they look alike, right?
Oh, what?
It's true. Yeah. Like in the darkness of a lodge, you sound like the same person.
Oh, good one. Good one. Well, yeah, tell our audience, because it's such exciting news, Dr. Stately, what's going on at the community clinic and the Native American Community Clinic in Minneapolis. I know it warms my heart, but there's also work to be done, too. And I'd really love if you could, a couple times today, be able to send out where people can send you some money.
Okay. Well, thanks. Hopefully there's a couple millionaires listening that just have, you know, some spare cash laying around.
I'm rich in personality.
Yeah. Good cause.
I don't think you're as rich as you think you are.
Hey, don't say that to my daughter here. This nepotism here. She'll get the right idea.
I'm just kidding. Totally wealthy. That's the one place you are really wealthy.
Oh, wait a minute.
Anyway, so the big hole you're talking about is the big giant hole in front of our building, which used to be the parking lot. And mm-hmm. You know, it's like I've gotten really, really, really great comments about it. Like the preponderance of people are really happy mm-hmm. that there's a big, huge hole in front of our building that used to be the parking lot. I think the people that used to use the parking lot to do things like stop by the bank, come to Maria's, you know, those kinds of things, they're not all that happy because they have to figure out other places to go and park at. Mm-hmm. And that's definitely not necessarily the greatest outcome of us breaking ground on our new building. But I will tell you that, like, what is just, it's really remarkable. Like, you know, we had our ground. Our groundbreaking ceremony, I think. Remember? I think you came to that.
Yes.
It was this evening in late April, just filled with like all kinds of really great, wonderful people who celebrated and supported our capital campaign and helping us get across the finish line to getting our building, our new building, which is going to be 6 stories, the largest building on the American Indian Cultural Corridor.
Wow.
Not that I'm bragging, but I'm just saying, like, that's a first. We are I think the new 2024 plan for City of Minneapolis allows for developments up to 6 stories high, and we took advantage of that, and we said we're going to go all 6 stories. And so the first two floors of the new building will be a brand new expanded clinic, probably close to about twice the size of the current clinic. It'll have, so our dental operation is going from 5 chairs to 12, so 150% growth there. Our medical clinic is going from 10 exam rooms to 18 exam rooms. And then, you know, a slight expansion of the behavioral health program. And then also bringing together all of the different programs that we operate under one roof, for the most part. And I think one of the things I'm the most excited about is just the amount of work we've done with Sam Ulbrichtson, who's our lead architect. He did the mm-hmm. Indian Center. He's done Wakan Teepee. He's, you know, he's involved in a lot of the projects in and around Minneapolis, but all over the country. He he and I have worked really hard together strategically with my staff and his and the construction team to really, with intention, center indigenous language, culture, and our medicines, our spiritual practices, that is going to be reflected throughout the clinic. We, with intention, made a really intentional decision to put a lot of investment in paying respect and homage to the fact that this is Dakota territory and Dakota land. So we have some interpretation of the Bedote and the meaning of that Bedote in our lobby floor plan. And it's intended to be a space and place where, you know, you'll come and you'll be able to get some Western medical services, like your teeth fixed and your blood pressure checked, and Robert, you come annually, we'll kick all four of your tires.
Yeah.
Actually, hey, just three, because you're always one tire short, I think.
Well, I was really happy, and I thought of the clinic when I was at Pride, and we did a live broadcast at Queen City Pride, and I saw the big colon out there. Somebody had been rented the colon that you guys always have, and
wow,
had to walk through there one time and sing a little. Hoo-wah.
Were you like rubbing the nodules on the sides?
Yes, a little bit, but don't bring that up. We'll talk about that in the break.
Such a naughty boy. Anyway, I'm so disappointed that I forgot about Pride and coming to be with you on Pride Day. I literally forgot it was Pride. I'm like such a bad gay.
I don't have a boo button, but I think you're right. Well, we'll make you come out to the fair and do a live show.
Yeah, I'll do that for sure. But you, I was that, like, I had a legit reason for not being at Pride Festival. It was actually our weekend for our summer camp too. So every single, we had our third annual men's summer camp for men in the community who want to spend time communing with each other, learning some traditional practices. We had a sweat lodge on both Saturday and Sunday, or no, Friday and Saturday. We had traditional games that they played, traditional activities. They went fishing, then they ate the fish for dinner, and we did archery and canoeing, and we had ceremony every night, and it's just a really beautiful experience. So, it's a lovely, lovely way to spend the weekend. And I'm sad that I wasn't able to be with my two spirit relatives at Gay Pride, but hopefully they don't take away my membership card and they give forgiveness, but I spent it with some really amazing people on this small gathering in Mound.
Well, and I saw with pictures, because we weren't there for the parade, I saw in pictures that there was a lot of people from Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition there marching in the parade. And I do believe that was the first time ever that they were in the parade.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing too.
Yeah.
I love that. I've lived in a lot of other places. I've lived in Los Angeles. I've been at the Los Angeles Gay Pride. I've been to San Francisco Gay Pride. I've been to New York's Gay Pride. And there's an indigenous footprint in those gay prides as well. But like ours is so much more visible, I think, because of the number of two-spirit people that attend our Pride Festival and our Pride Parade every year.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, we're with Dr. Stately here, and we're going to make him come back because we miss him, and it's a great conversation. So, hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
Oh.
Boldly Challenging Ableism is here to go where some people won't. I'm Katrina Simons, and every week I'm digging into the real impact of ableism, breaking down myths, calling out barriers, and pushing for a world where disabled people belong in every space. With my work at the University of Minnesota's Institute on Community Integration and a lifetime of lived experience, I'm diving into everything from employment and housing to justice and culture. And yeah, I bring some humor and heart along the way. Catch us Sundays at 2 p.m. right here on AM 950, or listen anytime by finding Boldly Challenging Ableism on YouTube or your favorite podcast app.
This is Mitch, owner of Junk Masters. Feeling overwhelmed by clutter?
Tom Hartman here. You're listening to WISS.
ABC News, I'm Stephanie Officer. We now know the identities of the firefighters killed in Sunday's ambush at an Idaho park. Officials say 42-year-old Battalion Chief Frank Harwood of the Kootenai County Fire and Rescue Department succumbed to his gunshot wounds. He was a 17-year member of the department. 52-year-old Battalion Chief John Morrison of the Coeur d'Alene Fire Department was also killed. He was a 28-and-a-half-year member of that department. 42-year-old Engineer Dave Tisdall of the Coeur d'Alene Fire Department is a 23-year member. Tisdall underwent two successful surgeries for his gunshot wounds. Hope grows for peace in Gaza as Israel appears to be getting closer to accepting the U.S. proposal to end the fighting. ABC's Tom Sufi-Burridge.
President Trump is pushing for that. There are signs that Prime Minister Netanyahu is moving in that direction. I don't think he's going to imminently end the war. I think at the moment the consensus amongst analysts here is that we are potentially weeks away from the war ending.
This is ABC News.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Brewers head to New York. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers on their way to Queens, New York, where they'll face the Mets tomorrow night. The crew losing to the Rockies yesterday, 4-3 in 11 innings. The game began with Rockies manager Warren Schaefer and batter Tyler Freeman arguing with the umpire about balls and strikes, both ejected. I asked Brewers pitcher Chad Patrick how it went for him.
That first inning was definitely a grind. I felt like I was making good pitches, just trying to get rewarded a little bit, how close they were. Said something, you know. Go on from there, but he ended up being right.
Basketball, the Milwaukee Bucks have reached a new 3-year deal with Bobby Portis Jr. worth as much as $44 million. Head coach Doc Rivers.
Listen, Bobby, he's been fantastic. Every night he gives us something defensively with his hands and his rebound.
And former Buck Malik Beasley, now with the Pistons, under investigation for gambling. Beasley accused of betting on NBA games 2 years ago while with Milwaukee. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Apple Films' F1 is definitely a hit, but will it be a financial success? Sounds like a strange question, but prognosticators are curious. The film opened number one with a $57 million domestic haul and has brought in $145 million worldwide. The Brad Pitt-Jerry Bruckheimer effort received excellent reviews, but still landed a little short of expectations. How to Train Your Dragon came in second place with just under $20 million and a less than 50% drop-off in week three, giving it a domestic total of just over $200 million. Disney Pixar's Elio, although a bit of a disappointment, still came in third place with just over $10 million at the gate. Megan 2.0 underperformed as well, earning much less than the first chapter of the film, coming in at about $10 million domestically. Rounding out the top five was 28 Years Later, which came in just under $10 million in its second week of release. Fasten your seatbelts, though, moviegoers. A dinosaur invasion is happening tomorrow. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A stray shower storm this evening, otherwise mostly clear and a low in the low 60s tonight. Sunshine and warmer for tomorrow, high in the low 80s. Another slight storm chance Wednesday and Thursday. A little more humidity as well, highs into the mid 80s. Right now it's 76.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
It's National Handshake Day, but I find the idea that you just meet someone and you're holding a body part of theirs kind of odd. Hello, stranger. I'd like to squeeze your hand. Let's have an intimate act here. I have no idea where it's been or how you choose to use your hand in your spare time, but I'd like to hold it for a while. Unless it's a friend. Look, I don't know why we have to touch each other when we barely know each other.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matt Nair on air.
PJ Leash, the bug guy, he heads the entomology department at UW-Madison, and we are talking ticks.
When a deer tick transmits Lyme disease, it takes 36 hours, so about a day and a half. And that's why, in my mind, one of the single best things you can do as a precaution is to do regular tick checks. Because you've removed it, your risk goes down greatly to basically zilch.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On Tuesday's show, Dana Polacek joins us from Lacrosse Distributing, and Shanasty Ireland will share the ultimate July 4th menu.
Plus, Sean Katzbeck gives us the details on Marinette's Logging In Heritage Festival. Join us.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native Roots Trading Posts. Shop now at cause-cart.shop and search for Native Roots to find your resist gear. Pinigigi, everyone, for all your support.
Absolutely. And so many people were asking about that, Jaleesa, the resist shirt out there that we were all
the
wearing.
The colorful one?
Yes.
Yes, rainbow.
Exactly. Thank you. And Robert Lilligren, who pinch hitted for Dr. Stately, was there, and he had his on, and Jace Rowe didn't have one on, but we owe him one, and it was a great show. One of the things that they brought up, Dr. Stately, was a really interesting comment, and, you know, you and Robert Lilligren have been in this, I don't want to say fight, but, you know, who, you know, the struggle of who you are and be able to come out. And especially years ago when things weren't said right or correctly to our two-spirit group. But the people now, our young ones now, are really loud and proud. And it's an amazing thing to see these last, at least for me, these last six.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, first of all, I wanted to just, like, make everybody in the audience understand, like, me and Robert Lilligren are not fighting.
yeah, I know. He said that.
The way he phrased that, I was like, we're fighting? Are we really? I don't know that we were fighting.
I'm so glad you said that because I kind of chuckled thinking he was about to make a joke. And then I'm like, oh, don't smile. He's saying something serious. This is real.
No, they're not fighting. And thank goodness Jaleesa's here. And thank you for catching that, Dr. Stately.
Yeah.
Hey, is this a lot? Can we start over?
Yeah.
I want to start over. Although, you know, I think I could take them if I had to. If I really had to.
Yeah.
But no, while as you kept going, I realized what it was. It was just funny because for those that are watching, you can see me smile. But for our listeners, yeah, I was smiling, and then I went, "Oh, wait, no! Now I hear what he's saying." That was that was profound.
So
yeah,
hopefully,
I mean, I think we came from an era. A period in time when it wasn't really easy to be out of the closet and to be open about our sexuality. And, you know, although I mean, I will honestly tell you, like, I have said this multiple times. I've said this to my own kids, even. I've said this to a lot of people, like, you know, I don't think that I was ever in the closet. I think there wasn't even a closet, like, large enough for me, maybe, perhaps. Like, I kind of came out of the chute, sort of like the way I am. And there was never, I don't think I ever, I mean, I certainly had moments in my life when I was much younger, when I was really young, where I just thought, like, oh God, it would be so great if I could just, you know, somehow, you know, meet a girl that, you know, was like a guy. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, now I actually have a lot of friends who are girls like who are guys. But I would say, like, you know, I would think to myself, like, oh God, if I could just get this, if I could have this, or there were times when I was in boarding school, growing up in a Catholic boarding school, where I just was like, I would lay in bed at night, you know, praying, like I would, like, somehow, like, you know, I would wake up the next morning and I would be a female. Not that I wanted to be transgender or ever had that feeling like I wanted to be, but I definitely understood generally, like, in the late 60s, early 70s, that it wasn't cool to be gay. It wasn't something you talked about. And actually, quite frankly, like, I was, like, probably 18, 19 years old before I ever, like, learned about what it meant to be gay. Like, I didn't have a word for it when I was a kid, and I didn't have a word for it when I was a teenager. But it was clear to me that it wasn't something that was really all that great. And even in our own community, I met two-spirit people in the community throughout my adolescence that were, you know, I would say mentors or, you know, people who supported me, like, you know, made me feel comfortable in my skin, made me feel like I was important. Some of those people have passed on. You know, one of them that was really, really he was an amazing leader in our community too. He was a namer and he practiced funerary rites for the last band of Ojibwe, Lee Staples, a really close friend to my mom. Like I was a young man when I met him and he made me feel comfortable in my own skin, which was really critically important at that point in my life. But it was a challenge to be able to navigate that space for sure.
Yeah. And as a former educator and being in the community, not that our young ones have it easier, but they know who they are and they're able to, you know, to speak up. And that's something that I've really enjoyed tremendously, to see the change, the switch. And especially, I don't know if we're in a bubble here in the Twin Cities in Minnesota here, because we are very liberal here. And I know that's not always in accepting. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And I know that's not always the case, even with our own people, you know? So Dr. Stately, I feel like we always have to talk about, you know, good things here on Native Roots Radio. And that's kind of the vibe that I've gotten over the years by our younger people are more fluid.
I would say when I was young, it was really my own community that treated me the worst, right? Around that, I think, but that was also late 60s, early 70s, where like as a society, we're really struggling with this idea of like, you know, homosexuality or gayness too, right? And so there was moments, I think probably between the time I was like maybe 13, 14 years old, when I sort of kind of started kind of coming out a little bit more. I was in high school. I didn't even get the opportunity to tell my mother that I was gay. My sister, who was a lesbian, her girlfriend told my mother, for me. And then that was a really hurtful experience, because it robbed me from having the opportunity to have that. Me be the one to have that conversation with my mother, right? And you know, her and I never got around to having a conversation about like, you know, like what would make you think that it was okay to say that information about me. But it was a challenging period of time, because it was, you know, I turned 16 in 1978. You know, I was in my last year of high school. There were other things that were going on in high school at that time. Like high school is hard enough. Right. It's like, you know, it's like just a popularity contest, you know, and, you know, I think somebody should actually do this. I'm going to put this shout out right now to Rihanna Yazzie. Like we should do an indigenous version of Mean Girls, because that's what it felt like when I was in high school. can you just imagine, you know?
Yes.
Like what that would look like. That would be really kind of cool, actually.
Write that down, Jaleesa. That's steal that idea, but don't tell him.
Just steal all my ideas. Go ahead.
Just emailing with new names.
Your dad does it all the time, actually.
Yeah, I have a hat for you. I made too. I'll have to get to you when I see you for a community clinic. We're revving up the hats here at Native Roots Trading Post. So I'm gonna get you one there. I know you don't wear hats, do you?
I'm not really a hat wearer. I wore them a lot when I was much younger. You know, when I lived in Los Angeles and everybody thought I was a Mexican, I just wore backwards hats all the time.
Oh, cool.
I was like, I'll just blend in. I'll blend in.
Wanda's excited about that.
Wow. That's your actual dog, not a button you're pushing.
Got it. Yeah.
Yes.
We should.
I thought you were giving me like the gay wolf. The wolf, wolf, wolf.
I got a button right here. I think that's a ripoff of the Twilight Zone, but I'm not sure.
I think maybe possibly.
Well, Dr. Stately, I would like to talk to you a little longer if you have the capacity. I know we're going to break here soon.
Sure.
We haven't talked in such a long time. And it's just things that are going on now are just crazy. And there's so much misinformation, and people are paralyzed because they don't know if they should take a left or a right, or is this coming down in 2026 or tomorrow? And then, of course, we joked about you living in California, but we have our issues here with our undocumented that that just breaks my heart.
Yeah, it has been a crazy month, the month of June. I'm ready for it to be over, so I'm glad it's the last day. But I will tell you, like, that shooting of Representative Portman and her husband, and, Senator Hoffman, who and his wife also were shot. That whole thing was just, like, horrifying. I remember waking up two Saturdays ago and just thinking, like, what in the hell is going on? Mm-hmm. And I was in shock. I want to take the moment now to acknowledge that Senator Hartman was a tremendous friend and supporter of our indigenous communities across Twin Cities and across Minnesota. I don't think that our project would have been able to be as successfully, in the place where it is without her support and a lot of the other House representatives that sort of like championed that bill that got us our initial award to buy the building and then the 4.5 to support the expansion. So
let's talk a little bit more about that.
I'm going to miss her. I think she's amazing.
Yes. Good words.
Let's talk a little bit more about that in the next segment. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we're going to be right back with Dr. Stately and Jaleesa McKee and Wanda. Oh, wow. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
Oh, my favorite person.
With us.
Your heart beats for generations. Take care of it.
There's a lot that we can do to take care of ourselves. And so I think it's important to take the smaller steps and break it down into more manageable pieces because the little steps leads to big changes.
Every beat of your heart tells a story of love, resilience, and hope. For Indigenous women, taking care of your heart means creating more moments with the ones you cherish. Let's protect that story. Learn more at hennepin.us/heart-beats.
Rudy Luther Toyota is the dealer you can trust. Go to RudyLutherToyota.com to browse their inventory of new and certified pre-owned vehicles. Style, performance, and reliability, you can find it all at Rudy Luther. With every new and certified pre-owned vehicle, you'll get a Luther Advantage card. Save 10 cents per gallon at the pump and get $6 Works car washes at Holiday Station stores. That's right. You can get a great vehicle and help stretch your budget even further. Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month. Right here on AM 950. What does it mean to begin? Creation Story explores Native origin stories through powerful contemporary art, connecting past and present with every brushstroke in sculpture. Explore how identity, culture, and resilience are shaped through art. Creation Story, now at All My Relations Arts through July 26th. This exhibition invites you to the heart of the Ochate Shikoin storytelling, where spiritual relatives guide the way. Open to all. Learn more at allmyrelationsarts.org. Experience the beginning. Experience Creation Story at All My Relations Arts in Minneapolis.
Hi, this is Governor Walz. Thank you for listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
In this portion of the show, we'd like to bring awareness to our Minnesota wolf population. Say no to the hunts.
No.
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 No. Hey, we have Dr. Stately on, Native American Community Clinic CEO, and our great friend here at Native Roots Radio, trying to figure out, we were talking to the guy you were fighting with, Robert Lilligren has been on, but you've been on just as long. I think you've been on like 6 years.
6 years, yeah. Since
and this is our ninth year.
2019, I think.
Yeah,
or 2020, I think.
But when we transitioned to 5 days a week, you were one of the main reasons why we could do that because we had a great 2-hour show, but I don't know how many people listened to it because it was 2 hours long, and I had 8 guests on every week, including you, mm-hmm. And I go, this is a great show. So let's stretch it out here 5 days and give a little bit. So you're an important part, not only of our family, but of Native Roots Radio. And I really appreciate you whenever you can come on. And I know there's times that your family has to take precedence, and that's the way it is. And we appreciate it.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I really appreciate being part of the Native Roots you know, radio family. It's been a privilege and an honor. And, you know, I do actually really love being here and spending time with you and Wendy and, you know, your cat that used to like.
Yeah. Lucy.
Yeah,
rest in peace, Lucy.
I know, Lucy.
Every time that we did the sacred animal portion of the show, Lucy would bust through the door of the old studio and start meowing. It was hilarious. Yeah, oh, I miss her.
Dr. Stately did a great impersonation too there.
Yeah. Well, we kind of rushed you along because we were going to break, but I really would love you to repeat Representative Hortman and former Speaker of the House and her family, and how important that connection was, because I saw videos too of how she supported Red Lake College and all these things. Just a champion of us.
She was just a really wonderful person. You know, I think what was the most hurtful was that she, you know, like, I listened to, like, the day, like, so, like, just literally the day before she was murdered, she voted with the Republicans to, you know, she was a woman of integrity, a woman of just tremendous, you know, she just had amazing values, right? She was a woman and a leader and a legislator who, like, lived her values. If she said she was going to do something, she'd do it.
Right.
And she, you know, the day before she was murdered, her and her husband were murdered, she voted, you know, she gave her vote to that bill that took away the Medicaid rights to people who were undocumented. And, you know, these are people that my clinic sometimes serve, and a lot of the partners who are there at federally qualified healthcare centers in Minneapolis and throughout Minnesota that serve a large proportion of people who are uninsured and undocumented. And, you know, we'll get harmed by that significantly because of that, not just our businesses, but the who's harmed in the end is those individuals and their families and their children.
Yeah.
Right. And the communities that they live in, they have to carry that burden when they're harmed. Right. And so it's just like, but to me, it was really, really, I mean, I was really emotionally devastated on the morning when I woke up and heard the news that she had been shot and killed.
Yeah.
Assassinated, I think, is the word we should be using, because it was assassination. And I think the thing that is just really challenging for me in that whole conversation was that she was a really good person.
Right? Yeah.
And she worked across the aisle, right? And she worked, you know, if she said something, you could count on her word. You know, and I think, and I've worked with a lot of, I've worked with some Republican folks in that over the last couple of years in campaigning for our advocating for our capital campaign and trying to get more resources into the community for opioid use disorder. You know, I have a Senator Baker who's on the ORAC committee with me. You know, we have a good relationship, and, you know, I can count on him to be faithful to his word, and, you know, and to practice his principles and his values. So I think, like, the thing that's the most disturbing to me is that, you know, these are people I have had, Melissa and many of her colleagues in the legislature, whether they're in the Senate or in the Republican, in the representative chamber, these are people I've worked with for the last 4 or 5 years. And I have tremendous deep respect for them. And I literally Saturday morning, I watched the live
funeral
for the funeral. I listened to the eulogies, and the one that hurt the most was her son's eulogy. Very, very short, you know, very, very short. He, you know, read something about his mother, and I was like, this man, I was 25 years old when I lost my mother. I didn't lose her to murder or an assassination, but it was life-changing for me to lose my mother at 25. This man's only a few years older than I was at that time. And it took me a really long time, a good 5 to 10 years, to sort of kind of figure out my life and kind of figure out how to move forward without a mother, you know, feeling like an orphan.
Yeah.
25, 28, 30 years old, 35 years old, feeling like an orphan, not tethered to the earth. It was really a really challenging time for me. And so I have a lot of empathy and compassion for the family. And I just, you know, and who loses in the end is every Minnesotan loses in the end, quite frankly. Yep. Every single one does.
Well, if you could explain a little deeper to our listening audience, especially we have a big audience in Wisconsin too, about why she voted that way and what she had done and promised earlier on and during these negotiations.
Yeah, you know, the House and the Senate in Minnesota have been very, very tight for a really long period of time. After the 2024 elections, there was basically a tie between the Republican and the representative chamber, same number of Republican seats as Democrat. And she had worked really hard to build a relationship and to work really hard with her Republican colleague. She gave up the speakership and she rescinded that and gave it, you know, without a tremendous amount of fight. And she agreed to, like, she moved things along because she was agreeable. She recognized that there was the only path was to sort of like collaborate and be a partner, right? And she recognized that she knows that from years. She knew that from years and years and years of doing that work within the community and being a legislator. I think she's been a legislator for 20 years or something.
Yeah. Like
that. A good portion of her life. That's a really long period of time. You know that, and parenthetically, people are always asking me, like, hey, you should run for it. I'm like, that sounds like a thankless job.
Yeah.
That sounds really, really hard, and I don't know that I have the skin and the constitution for that. You know, I'd get angry, swear at somebody, but she was a really amazing person who did, like, you could count on what she said. You could count on her, you know. And so she gave up. She agreed to vote with the Republicans to take that right away. On that bill, and it was hard for her. She cried the day she did.
Yes, she did.
Yes,
she did.
Yep.
Dr. Stately, thank you so much, a big peeny giggy, for being on as always. We've missed you, and I'm glad we could have you on today and listen to the great knowledge and your experience and more about the clinic. Thank you so much. Hey, this has been Native Roots Radio. We're still here. We are the seventh generation. If you are listening to the show, you are part of the resistance. From Chief Flanny Coops, the ground on which we stand on, it's sacred ground. It's the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office, and vote. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Matt Nair on Air.
Jay Matt Nair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, breaking down more decisions from Wisconsin Supreme Court with Pat Kreitlow from Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Don't miss it.
Matt Nair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic Sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network. This is WISS Berlin-Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein-Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Stephanie Officer. A detention officer in Cherokee County, North Carolina, was shot and killed Monday during a federal inmate's escape from a medical facility. Sheriff Dustin Smith says the inmate Kelvin Simons got a hold of Officer Francisco Flores' weapon in a scuffle and shot him with it.
The suspect, Kelvin Simons, fled in a stolen vehicle and was apprehended in Macon County, North Carolina.
Officer Flores was taken to a hospital where he was pronounced dead. A Queens, New York doctor has pleaded guilty to sexually abusing sedated patients at New York Presbyterian Hospital, Queens, and raping women who were unconscious at his home. The Queens DA says Z. Allen Cheng admitted to abusing seven women. The 35-year-old was arrested in 2022. He has remained in jail and has been barred from practicing medicine. Cheng faces up to 24 years in prison at sentencing. This is ABC News.